This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Podcast of Audio Reading Service volunteers reading the Journal Gazette is provided by the Allen County Public Library for the sight and print impaired and made available with the permission and cooperation of the Journal Gazette.
And now, back to the live reading of today's Journal Gazette with your readers today, Mary and Matt.
We're back from our break. We're reading the Living section from the September 27th weekend edition of the Journal Gazette. And here is Mary with today's horoscopes. We will also read Sunday's horoscopes.
All right. This is from Holiday Mathis, Aries, March 21st to April 19th. The weight you carry proves your strength, but it's also the reason you are strong in the first place. Even when you doubt it, you're showing you can handle more than most. This is the big leagues, and there will be big league rewards in play. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. You've heard some people have secret lives, but what seems even more true is that most people do. We only see from our own point of view, blind spots inevitable. You'll get a rare and new glimpse of someone today. Intriguing. Gemini, May 21st to June 21st. The envy that may rise when you see others carefree, it's natural. Let's let that fuel you. Their joy is evidence that joy exists and is attainable. Keep believing you'll find your own version, and in a way that only your life could deliver. Cancer, June 22nd to July 22nd. Your mind is tuned to pattern recognition. You'll see relationships where others see chaos. You'll find a way to reconcile schedules, resources, or personalities that seem impossible to align. Turning conflicting opinions into shared solution is another specialty. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. There does not have to be a leader and a follower for people to work in harmony and purpose. Today, without a leader, the group will emerge naturally into a form specific to their collective chemistry with astonishing results. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. Restrictions will be lifted. Some see it as an invitation to be carefree, but you see it as an opportunity to work without obstacle. You're thinking ahead and eager to build the resources that could help in tougher times. Libra, September 23rd to October 23rd. Your presence is like the sun breaking through clouds. You've earned the right to hope, not by accident, but through endurance. There are talents you've yet to unleash, doors you've yet to open. The best is still ahead. Scorpio, October 24th to November 21st. You can and will do it better, not because there's anything wrong with the way you are doing it now, but because you love excellence, crave mastery, and thrill to the feeling of improving. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. When someone tries to mask their emotions, an act of suppression creates tension that you pick up on. Vibes, timing, and intuition are the real power today, and your sensitivity to it will be a key advantage. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Numbers, followers, external measures all melt away against the truth. No one else has your voice. No one shows up with your presence. No one sees a vision quite like yours. That distinctiveness magnetizes the right people. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. People will see what you can do. Being so public feels risky because it is. But of course, you're up to it. You won't even have to rise to the occasion. What you already do and are is mighty fine. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. Even when love isn't shown clearly, it surrounds you. Someone remembers a detail of your life. Someone sends a text out of the blue. Someone keeps coming back. It's all proof that you are held in the heart. Today's birthday, welcome to your year of fortune's door. Opportunities swing wide, sometimes so suddenly you'll laugh at your luck. You'll step into rooms that sparkle with connection and chance and work them like a pro, often for the good of the much greater cause that any single person's gain. More highlights, a love that feels destined, a promotion that dazzles, a home you can cherish, and a game you win big. Aries and Scorpio adore you. Your lucky numbers are 5, 16, 27, 1, and 2.
And here is Sunday's horoscopes by Holiday Mathis. Aries, March 21st to April 19th. You're not oblivious to suffering. You don't look away hoping someone else will handle it. You'll look past the front that people present to notice who really needs help but is covering it up out of pride or the instinct to appear normal. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. You may feel like you're yet to find the version of you that can do a thing, but that person is in there. Believe it. You don't even have to force the right attitude. It will instinctively emerge. Gemini, May 21st to June 21st. An excellent collaboration comes together for you today. You know it's good because it honors the group mission as well as the individuality of all members. You'll include, inspire, and encourage others and simultaneously meet your own aims. Cancer, June 22nd to July 22nd. You're the true artist, making very specific choices from the varied palette of life. You'll pull a thread through seemingly unrelated events and extrapolate a meaning that's personal to you. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. Keep adding to your arsenal of favorite things, as these are soul-soothing tools that will keep you centered when life brings you challenges. You're at your best when you're enjoying yourself. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. Sometimes getting perspective isn't just metaphorical. Literally changing your environment, moving your body, or taking a trip can help reset your mind and shift perspective. Time to travel. Libra, September 23rd to October 23rd. You signed up for something a long time ago, and now the moment has arrived. Because you go all in with plans, but keep your feet firmly planted in what's real, you'll experience truly magical outcomes. Scorpio, October 24th to November 21st. Of course it's easy to let unimportant things go, but there's a whole process of examination and awareness that goes into deciding that something is not important. You'll peel back one layer at a time. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. You'll take care of business in a fresh order, the first business being your own personal fulfillment. Prioritizing joy is the smart way to go about it now and will lead to enhanced well-being. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Life is improvisation. You don't control what's handed to you. It's often best to just accept it, the yes, and then add something of your own, the and. Today, you'll create something workable, even beautiful. Flexibility plus cooperation equals success. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. People sense your openness and come to you with stories and secrets, not all of which you wanted to know. Still, it's more interesting than not. You don't have to solve anything. It's enough to simply witness. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. If you start painting a floor from the doorway inward, you'll eventually paint yourself into a corner. Don't just follow impulses. The next thing, then the next, only works well after you've already surveyed the whole scene. Leave yourself an exit strategy. Sunday's birthday. Welcome to your year of financial mastery. You pick up the knowledge and skill to earn and spend in a new way. Also, a dream that's been whispering to you for years now sings out in full voice. This is now practical and doable. More highlights. Love sweetens the year. Friendships blossom. Partnerships deepen. And adventure is equal parts work and play. All of it adding up to a game changer. Your lucky numbers are 3, 19, 25, 40, and 50.
And now to your good health. This is from Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a healthy 65-year-old female with low blood pressure. I weigh 123 and I'm 5 feet 6 inches tall. I have good cholesterol and don't have diabetes. I sadly do have a congenital bicuspid valve and a 4.5 centimeter aneurysm. My question is, are supplements necessary to maintain good health? I spend a small fortune on various supplements, too many to mention, and I'm kind of tired of it. I feel the supplements help me stay healthy, but I wonder if I'm being duped by advertising. I eat a very healthy diet with lots of vegetables, fruits, homemade bone broth, organ meats, fish, and some red meat. I don't eat sugar. Can you help me quit supplements, please? And the answer? Since it seems like your goal is mostly to prevent diseases, I can confirm that the data are very poor regarding healthy people who benefit from supplements. Supplements can be a good alternative to medication to treat symptomatic conditions, but the existing studies show a lack of benefit from vitamins and minerals to prevent problems from occurring in the future. The most commonly used supplements are marketed for this purpose. Marketing for supplements is very effective, but if you look carefully, they will all say, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You have a 4.5 centimeter aneurysm, I assume, in your thoracic aorta, and you could consider a statin drug to slow expansion of the aneurysm. Keeping your blood pressure low is very important. I do not recommend organ meats as part of a healthy diet and recommend that red meat be consumed in smaller amounts than what many North Americans normally consume. Fruits, vegetables, and non-fried fish, especially fatty fish, are all excellent choices. You could consider adding seeds, nuts, and whole grains to your diet. You will have more money to spend considering how much you will save by omitting your supplements.
And here is from Dear Annie. True friendship is measured in trust. And dear Annie, I have 5 girlfriends I've been close with for many years. I keep their secrets, I don't talk behind their backs, and I've always treated them with respect. As we've gotten older and more serious about our lives, we each began moving out on our own, getting engaged and getting married. When I got engaged, my fiancé did it in a very big way. I was taken by surprise, and he even arranged for someone to film it. I was very excited to share the DVD of our engagement with my friends, but the day I brought it over, nobody bothered to watch the whole thing. Over the years, I've been very generous, buying these women gifts and giving money at their weddings, and still, none of them have ever asked me to be a bridesmaid. I didn't realize how much that hurt until it was my turn to get married. I asked one of them to be my maid of honor, but because it was a destination wedding, she couldn't, and I completely understood that. Still, none of them even gave me a shower gift, which upset me after all the money I've spent on them. The 5 of us have been friends for more than 8 years. I've spent hours on the phone listening to their heartaches, and I thought our bond was stronger than this. A good friend of mine from school who is outside this group told me she thinks they're jealous, since I was the first to move out and graduate from school, and I've always had a bit more financially than the others. But I can't accept that answer. We've been too close for that. I appreciate your advice to others and hope you can help me. Signed, Perplexed in the East. Dear Perplexed, you've been generous with your time, money, and heart, so of course it hurts to feel like this, that it's not being reciprocated. But true friendship isn't measured in gifts or grand gestures. It's measured in consistency and trust. Who shows up and how? Based on your letter, these women aren't showing up for you. That doesn't mean they don't care at all, but you're clearly on different pages. Perhaps their priorities have changed as you've gotten older. Maybe there really is some jealousy at play. Whatever the reason, you can keep pouring energy into this group and feeling slighted, or you can prioritize investing in relationships that fill your cup. Dear Annie, as a hairstylist for over 35 years, I often offer a listening ear, too. My clients share many personal concerns and life stories with me. One thing I have always shared with them is to reverse the situation. When in doubt, what would you do or say if you were in XYZ's shoes? When you reflect on that, often the answer you're looking for is right in front of you. Signed, a friend from Michigan. Dear friend, I couldn't agree more. You're right. Perspective changes everything. That's why I so often preach the golden rule. Treat others the way you'd want to be treated. A little compassion goes a long way, and it's advice that never wears out. Your clients are lucky to have you as a stylist and a sounding board. Annie Lane is a Creators Syndicate advice columnist whose work appears Monday through Saturday. Send a question to DearAnnie@creators.com.
And now, Heloise. Dear Heloise, a friend of my mother decided to downsize to a townhome after living in her large family home for years. She decided the things that she wanted to take with her, then hired an estate sale company so as not to deal with the things that she had amassed and no longer needed over the years. After the sale was over, she called a local charity to come pick up what wasn't sold. This is from Eliza Jones, Lakewood, California. Dear Heloise, the bottom of my stainless steel coffee thermos was getting yucky. I filled the thermos halfway with water and then put in one denture cleaning tablet in it. I left it standing for several hours, then shook it and rinsed it well. It was so clean. This is from Carolyn via email. Dear Heloise, if I could add a solution to the cat litter box odor question, it is to buy a new litter box. If the old one smells, it is not worth the effort to clean it when a new box is not that expensive. Here are some other suggestions. Use a clumping unscented litter that some unscented litters release a smell when in contact with urine, and this can be worse than the actual urine smell. Clean out all the clumped litter and feces often. If I'm around, I do it 2 or 3 times a day, but make sure you do it at least once every day. Add more litter to replace what was removed. Every 2 or 3 weeks, I throw out all the litter, even if it looks good. When I wash the litter box with mild soap, rinse it well, and let it dry before refilling it with brand new litter. Cleaning will do more to help than adding fresheners. I'm a retired feline veterinarian in Oklahoma. And that was via email. Dear Heloise, someone gave a hint about reusing the backs of old greeting cards for note-taking. I reuse the fronts instead. I cut off the fronts with their lovely art and glue or staple them onto plain gift bags. Sometimes I add a little 3-dimensional floral or butterfly stickers too. Voila, a lovely custom gift bag. Also, the fronts of old Christmas cards are great to apply to Christmas packages to address them up. They can be used as a large gift tag. This is from Deb in Arizona. Dear Heloise, a shirt tucked only into the front is called a French tuck. I suspect it was started by fashion and ad photographers who wanted to show off how the jean or skirt front looks while the model is wearing a top that is meant as an overblouse. This is from Lee via email, and that's Heloise.
Early riser can enjoy vacations, and this is from Carolyn Hacks. Hi, Carolyn. I am an active traveler. I wake up early naturally. I like to move and get restless with slow mornings. I'm a good planner and the logistics guy in the group. Traveling and vacationing with my parents and siblings gets frustrating. While we have plenty of joint time together at meals and in the afternoons and evenings, I usually want to do something in the morning. I'll express my intention to get up and go do something, lay out the logistics to make it happen, and offer for anyone to join. People do, but then disregard the schedule, which then makes the planned activity impossible or leaves me waiting around for hours. Example, I'll plan a hike that gets us back by lunch for my kid's nap. Family member asks to join, then sleeps in, goes for coffee, takes an hour to get packed, and is ready at 11. So we do a lesser option, and I have young kids stuck waiting. When I express any annoyance, I get told I need to relax or chill, and it is implied I'm being the bad guy by making others rush. In my mind, though, I was clear with the intentions and schedule, did the planning legwork, and included others who were interested. I get on my terms. I feel like my time being co-opted and plans disregarded is insensitive, but they don't see this and keep making me out like I'm only the one at fault. Suggestions? Signed, Active Traveler. Active Traveler, 2 suggestions as an either-or. The first is to own your role as logistics guy. Make it drolly, yet crystally clear that people who decide to join you are agreeing to your no-chill schedule. You have the exactitude known only to two classes of people, neurosurgeons and parents of children who nap. Participants show up fully caffeinated at 10 minutes before. I will leave without you, o'clock. No exceptions. The second option is to stop extending invitations for all these in-sleepers, finger-pointers, and other reprobates to join your morning adventures. You say you get plenty of time with them throughout the vacation. Perfecto. Rise early, plan well, and enjoy your activity time unsullied. Anyone who gets bent out of shape at being left out, oops, I mean really, who really wants to join you, can take the initiative to opt in, which I think you'll find is more conducive to respect for your schedule than your family-wide call-outs to tag along. Either way, you always have a choice not to react to being tagged as the "what are all the versions you used?" bad guy, no chill guy, need to relax guy. That's the worst they've got. You are you. They are they. Trying to change each other hasn't gone too well, so you're down to this. You can let them call you names or ruin your outings. Seems like a no-brainer to me. Carolyn Hacks is a Washington Post Writers Group columnist whose work appears Fridays and Saturdays. Write to Carolyn Hacks, Washington Post Writers Group, 1150 15th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20071, or email tellme@washpost.com. We will now read Perspectives for September 27th. The opinions expressed are those of the writers and not necessarily the opinions of the Audio Reading Service, the Allen County Public Library, Northeast Indiana Public Radio, PBS Fort Wayne, or your readers, Matt or
and Mary. We'll start with letters to the editor. Black Americans demand full equality of justice. Justice is a lie for Black Americans. If this system were fair, Fort Wayne wouldn't be a stage for racial oppression, but a city where Black lives are protected. Instead, what we encounter is public negligence disguised as law enforcement, implicit biases masquerading as impartiality, and institutions weaponized to harm us. Black Americans account for 47% of exonerations despite being just 13% of the population. Blacks are seven times more likely to suffer wrongful convictions for major crimes. When we report crimes, we are treated as suspects, not victims. Law enforcement sees Black victims as nuisances, silences us, and labels us as problems, all while the guilty walk free. In the courtroom, racism reigns supreme. Black plaintiffs are dismissed as liars, ignored as credible witnesses, and unfairly judged. Evictions are fast-tracked, ensuring generational poverty remains our reality. But health care neglect, rushed trials, and constitutional violations, they languish without accountability. Enough is enough. Black people cannot afford to trust systems designed to hurt us. The solution lies within us. Black-led justice initiatives, community-driven legal networks, and systems that hold judges, police, and hospitals accountable. It's time to protect Black women and children at all costs. The intersection of racism and sexism demands it. Justice isn't a favor, it's our right. And if the system continues to deny it, Black Americans will reclaim it, reimagine it, and rebuild it ourselves. the time for silence has passed. This is from Anita Crusoe of Fort Wayne. Tax bill, Hoosier Senator stands strong for families. As a pro-family advocate for more than four decades, including as a Capitol Hill staffer, think tank executive, and policy advocate, the tax bill Congress passed recently is among the most encouraging measures I've followed. Perhaps only the 1986 Tax Reform Act did more for traditional nuclear families. This bill enhanced the child tax credit, beefed up the parental leave measures through incentives, not mandates. It also maintained current tax policies to avoid a shocking increase and disruption to family budgets. The measures are so strong, I'm aware of a Hoosier first-time mom using the law's provisions to spark a conversation with her small business employer about parental leave policy when her child comes around Thanksgiving. That's the power of precedent-setting public policy. We owe all supportive legislators a debt of gratitude, but given the way the Senate works, we owe our two senators a special thanks for enduring voteramas and amendments with no purpose beyond setting legislators up for future negative campaign commercials. So hat tip to Senators Todd Young and Jim Banks. Thanks for voting for Hoosier Families. This is from Kurt Smith, Chairman, Indiana Family Institute. State foolishly turns its back on clean energy savings. It feels as though our super hot weather has finally broken. Looking back at utility bills makes me start to sweat all over again. I pay an average of $200 per month, and I know I am not the only one whose bills are that high. A couple of years ago, I did research and found there are communities that have renewable energy sources, and they pay way less for their utility bills. I found a community in Rhode Island that pays $10 a month all year long for commercial and residential utilities. Is there any way that we Hoosiers can have our monthly utility bills lowered? Using solar energy is cheaper. Last month's hot temperature sent UC units working round the clock. My sister-in-law paid more than $300 for her utility bill. My brother, who had solar installed recently, paid nothing. Sometimes he paid $10 a month, but overall his utility bill is far less than I pay. Indiana was due to receive federal funding to install clean, renewable energy. I do not understand how our elected officials can watch more than $117 million worth of investment leave the Hoosier State. Indiana was supposed to receive $117,470,000 out of the $7 billion EPA Solar for All program. But as of August 7th, that funding has been terminated. I do not understand how any Hoosier legislator could do nothing as millions of dollars worth of clean energy investment leaves Indiana. For those who would like to ask our representatives clean energy investment questions, please find your Indiana representatives at iga.in.gov/information/find-legislators. And this is from Nicole Snyder of Garrett.
Bridge to Compromise, funding final hurdle as Fort Wayne works to help the homeless. At the September 9th City Council meeting, two ways of thinking about homelessness came head to head in an exchange between Council President Russ Yale and grassroots advocate Sally Sedgerson of Street Reach for the Homeless. Yale and fellow council member Dr. Scott Myers have brought homelessness to the forefront of local conversations lately, calling for the city to consider strategies for clearing encampments downtown, specifically. Yale said he sees enabling encampments with resources as toxic and morally repugnant. Sedgerson, on the other hand, has been handing out blankets and supplies to homeless people downtown since 2012 and regularly provides updates to council from the front lines. Rather than enabling, she sees her work as keeping someone alive long enough to get a different chapter in their life story. These perspectives stake out two ends of a broad spectrum of opinions about what to do about homelessness in Fort Wayne. And as Yale said, there are going to be some tough conversations in the weeks ahead because it's a complex, emotionally loaded topic. So what do we know about homelessness in Fort Wayne? How does it impact downtown? And what's being done to improve the situation? As editor and co-founder of a weekly email newsletter, The Local, I'd like to share my notes and research. Let's start with quick definitions. Homeless refers to people lacking stable housing, couch surfing, living at shelters, etc. Unsheltered refers to people sleeping in cars, parks, abandoned buildings, or tent encampments. In other words, all unsheltered individuals are homeless, but not all homeless are unsheltered. In fact, a 2024 federal survey indicates 6,285 people are homeless in Indiana, but only 1,477 are unsheltered, fewer than 25%. This means the homeless individuals you might see on the streets downtown are only a fraction of the total population, even the total encampment population. There are encampments in all quadrants of the city. Here's what we know. At least 2,250 people are likely homeless in Fort Wayne. While there are many challenges to counting homeless individuals, this year the city conducted the most comprehensive survey of the population in the past decade. Homelessness is tied to broader issues in the city's housing system and economy. These range from availability of housing, both type and size, to wages, job opportunities, and strategies for addressing both. A 2023 housing market study by Zimmerman Volk Associates shows local housing options, primarily single-family detached homes, don't match the population's needs. Homelessness has increased post-pandemic nationwide, but less so in Indiana. Indiana's overall rate of homelessness increased about 4.2% between 2023 and 2024, compared to 18% nationally in this same time frame. This means that strategies taken nationally or in bigger cities might be less relevant to Fort Wayne. The city has stepped up efforts to address homelessness. Since 2023, the city has been working on a long-term reduction strategy. Everyone Home. Under Mayor Sharon Tucker, who has a special interest in homelessness and mental health, the city also hired its first employee to focus full-time on homelessness, including heading up an encampment task force. The Fort Wayne Police Department is also assisting homeless individuals facing mental health and addiction via HART, its Hope and Recovery Team. So homelessness is being addressed, but it appears some members of council are getting impatient. Yale and Myers are specifically concerned about encampments downtown, calling them an urgent priority. So how does homelessness impact downtown? An increase in homeless individuals on the street might contribute to perceptions that downtown is unsafe. Rates of homelessness are assumed to be increasing downtown, and there has been a slight increase in crime downtown, but there's no local data linking the two. Homelessness is on the minds of downtown property owners because downtown Fort Wayne was reauthorized this fall. Still, downtown organization has taken steps to assist business owners and homeless individuals with short-term solutions. Ongoing mental health and addiction services, along with the city's new mental health committee, the Fort Wayne Police Department, plans to continue working with HEART. The city's National Opioid Settlement Committee also opened grant applications, but as federal and state budgets change as a result of cuts, funding capacity remains uncertain. It also takes time. For decades, Fort Wayne has invested in downtown, yet housing and homelessness haven't received equitable attention. It appears that due diligence is being done now, but the question remains, will funding be there to support these areas? We will now read primetime TV listings for Saturday, September 27th, and Sunday, September 28th.
First Saturday, starting at 8 p.m., An Evening with Elton John and Brandi Carlile on CBS, followed at 9:30 by 48 Hours, and at 10 by 48 Hours. On ABC, we will see a college football game, Alabama at Georgia. It actually starts at 7:30. And it goes till 11, at least. And on NBC, the college football game that also starts at 7:30 is Oregon at Penn State. On PBS, at 8 p.m., the Seaside Hotel. At 9 p.m., Keeping Up Appearances. At 9:30, As Time Goes By, and at 10 p.m., Song of the Mountains. And on Fox, it starts at 7, a Major League Baseball game. No one is noted as to what teams. At 10 p.m., Indiana News Now, Night Watch, and followed at 10:30 by Young Sheldon. And on Sunday, starting at 7:30 approximately on CBS, 60 Minutes, followed by Big Brother that goes until 10:30, followed by Matlock. On ABC, we have, starting at 8, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3. And on NBC, starting at approximately 8 p.m., NFL football, Green Bay Packers at Dallas Cowboys, and that goes until 11. On PBS at 8 p.m., Professor T, followed by the Marlowe Murder Club on Masterpiece, followed at 10 p.m. by Unforgotten on Masterpiece. And on Fox, at 8 p.m., The Simpsons, followed by at 8:30, Universal Basic Guys. At 9 p.m., Crapopolis. At 9:30, Bob's Burgers, followed at 10 p.m. by Indiana News Now, Night Watch, followed by Young Sheldon.
We're going to read a few sport highlights next, but for you sports lovers, tune in Monday at 6:30 a.m., 1:30, and 10:30 p.m. for Spotlight on Sports with stories from Sports Illustrated magazine, or tune in Sunday morning at 6 a.m. or in the afternoon at 4:30 p.m. and listen to a full hour of the past week's local, regional, and national sports stories, including sports and review. And now we'll read a few highlights from several local sports stories for you, starting with Flying Jets intercept rival Starfires 4 times in blowout. Despite a 5-0 start, Adams Central football coach Michael Mosser felt his Flying Jets had yet to get off the runway this season after winning the IHSAA 2A state title. "We have not played like I wanted these guys to play," Mosser said. "We have finally worked hard all week trying to work on ourselves." They were matched up Friday night against rival South Adams, which had scored at least 40 points in 4 prior games behind senior quarterback Titus Lehman. They made it the perfect time for AC to kick its performance into high gear, and did so, grounding the South Adams aerial attack, forcing 5 turnovers and rushing for 5 touchdowns in a decisive 35-7 win.
Saints can't put away upstart Bruins. Defense forces 2 turnovers in crunch time to help Northrop improve to 5-1. This is by Victoria Jacobson, the Journal-Gazette. When Bishop Dwenger scored its 2nd touchdown of the night early in the 4th quarter, giving the Saints a 12-point lead at Northrop, it seemed as if that might be it for the Bruins' sack dreams. Not so fast. Over the final 10 minutes of play, Northrop's Levi Portee would score 2 touchdowns, and the Bruins' defense would force 2 turnovers and get a 4th down stop, giving Northrop a 21-18 victory and its first win over Bishop Dwenger since 2012. The Bruins are now 5-1 for the first time since 2003, and they are one of 5 teams alongside Bishop Dwenger, Homestead, Carroll, and Bishop Luers who are 3-1 in sack play. "It feels good showing everybody that we've been putting in the whole offseason. We've been working on," Northrop senior Dee Hoag said, "putting it all together after the loss versus Homestead, coming back and coming through adversity in this game, we came back with a W."
And a review of high school football scores. Northrop 21, Bishop Dwenger 18, Adams Central 35, South Adams 7, DeKalb 42, Huntington North 28, Carroll 42, Southside 6, Northside 51, Wayne 7, Leo 47, Belmont 8, Columbia City 42, New Haven 13, Jay County 21, Woodland 7, Bluffton 47, Southern Wells 14, Angola 35, Fairfield 8, Lakeland 42, Central Noble 8, Eastside 42, Prairie Heights 0, Cherubusco 36, Fremont 14, West Noble 17, Garrett 6, Warsaw 42, Plymouth 14, Goshen 24, Wawasee 15, Lewis Cass 48, Whitco 13, and Bishop Luers 42, Concordia 0.
And in girls' regional golf, Barons become champs for first time, by Victoria Jacobson and Dylan Sin, the Journal Gazette. Kendallville. Fog delayed the start of East Noble Girls Golf Regional on Friday morning, but by late afternoon the sun was shining down on the DeKalb Barons as they lifted their first regional trophy since 2009. Number 15 Carroll led by 1-under-70 from individual medalist Taylor Larkins, placed 3rd with a score of 322 to become the final team to advance out of the regional.
In briefs, WNBA playoffs, Young and Smith pace aces past Fever to take 2-1 lead. Jackie Young scored 25 points in her home state, and Nalissa Smith added 16 points, leading the Las Vegas Aces to an 84-72 victory over the shorthanded Indiana Fever on Friday night in Game 3 of the best-of-five WNBA series. Europe's best give team commanding lead. Europe's best showed Friday that points, not panache, are what matters in the Ryder Cup. John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, and Tommy Fleetwood helped Team Europe silence the crowd at Bethpage Black and reminded the Americans that playing at home won't make it any easier to get their hands on that 17-inch gold trophy. The Europeans won both sessions and had a 5.5 to 2.5 lead going into Saturday. In local briefs, rink work to delay Comets opener. The Comets announced their promotional nights for the upcoming season on Friday. Due to renovations at the rink at the Coliseum, the Comets will be the last team in the ECHL to hold their home opener, doing so on November 21st, when they host the Bloomington Bison. On November 27th, Thanksgiving night, the Comets will face the Wings again in the annual Bob Chase Memorial Game. Special jerseys will be available to purchase. PFW men look to keep soccer unbeaten streak alive today. Purdue-Fort Wayne men's soccer will put its undefeated record on the line against defending Horizon League champion Robert Morris at PFW's Hefner Soccer Complex today at 4 p.m. The Mastodons are 5-0 and have already notched their longest unbeaten streak to start a season. And finally, Spartans Jr. announces he'll play baseball at IU. Homestead junior Charlie Herr has committed to play baseball at Indiana, he announced. The 6'4", 175-pound Herr hit 364 in 20 games with the Spartans as a sophomore last year. Well, that concludes the reading of the weekend edition of the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. This morning's reading of the journal will air later today at 6 p.m. and tomorrow at noon and 6 p.m. We have no birthdays listed for today or tomorrow, the 28th, and we're sure that there are people with birthdays, so if it is your birthday today and tomorrow, we hope you have a happy day.
Happy birthday.
Your readers today have been Matt with
Mary.
We invite you to stay tuned for the next program.
You've been listening to Volunteers Read the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette on your audio reading service. We're a special reading service for the print impaired, made possible by the Allen County Public Library and local donations. You're the reason we're here, so please call us with questions or comments at 260-421-1376.